Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We are in 2 Kings. We've come a long way since Genesis and the beginning of the Bible in Jeremiah. Never heard that before, have you? You know, this is not the first time mankind's been on this planet. You got to go to Jeremiah to figure that out. God flooded it once before because it had gotten so bad. There's all sorts of evidence popping up in archaeology right now. I seen the other day of a spark plug that looked very similar to the ones we use, embedded in rock, thousands of years old. It's lots of things going on here. You go to the old Sanskrit text, talks about nuclear war and flying aircraft, spacecraft, all sorts of... There was a very high-tech society here once before, and it went the same way that we're going. Well, you think God says, I put a rainbow in the sky because I'm not going to flood it again. You know, doing something over and over and over again and getting the same result is insanity. God's not going to participate in that. So, this is it. This is the last time. Like I said, we've come a long way. Please, I dare you to go to WVFFradio.com and catch the first episode. There are a lot of things in this Bible you haven't heard in church because they just don't know. They haven't studied the book. They got their religious certificate because they agreed and passed the tests on the things that the religion had told them. The established religion. And even when this book, the King James Version, which is the most accurate English version, I'm not saying this is the only one you should read. I've read a whole lot of the other ones. But this one I found is the most accurate, and there are things that can be gleaned between the lines out of this one. Even when King James had all of those scribes, 100 and some of them, put this book together and translate it, things were softened. They didn't want you to understand that there were two babies in the womb of Eve in the garden, and they had two different fathers. They wanted you to assume that Cain was born and the next year Abel was born, but it's right there in black and white. You got to look at every word. You got to look at every sentence. You got to look at phrases. You got to study it and study. I've read this book over 100 times in its entirety, and every time God gives me something else, and he says he would. You search my book earnestly. I will give you understanding. I heard so many people say, oh, I can't understand the King James Bible. You can. The first time through, maybe not. Second time through, oh, something will, one verse will, wow, now I understand it. God says, I'll give you the understanding. I don't care of your educational abilities or the triumph you've had in secular education. I don't care if you can barely read. He says, I'll do it. So we've come a long way. God gave the first covenant to Abraham. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. When they proved they couldn't do that, he laid the law on them. Made it hard. Made it things he had to do with their hands to make themselves temporarily holy. And it was all for an absurdity to prove to them that all they had to do was look to him with all their heart. And it would trump all of that. Jesus came back to us. Reestablish the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Jesus says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. So the children of Israel decided they were going to be disobedient the entire way out of Egypt and into Canaan. God says, remove all the inhabitants of Canaan or you'll be cursed. Well, they didn't do it. So now we're into the kings. And like we've been talking about, is excess. Solomon started it. David followed God with all his heart. God said that. last part of Samuel, first part of Kings. God said that. But David murdered. David committed adultery. David lied. But the heart never went along with it. The flesh took over, as it does in our lives, Christian. And you look at Saul, where the flesh completely took over and ruled him to the end. The spirit man would come out occasionally and repent. And how many of us do that? Fall on our knees when when this flesh has taken us to the lowest points in our life. Fall on our knees and repent. And yes, God's always there. And he always picks you up. And you get midway up. You know, you're not even fully standing straight. And you start in on the same old stuff, the flesh, letting the flesh take over. And it starts with excess. And you know what? I'm not just talking about gold and silver and wives like Solomon. He was a little bit more complex man than you and I. I'm talking about sitting at the dinner table. You feed this body more than it needs. That spirit man's going to go to sleep. And he's going to take you places that you really don't want to go. Because you're not that flesh. You're that spirit man inside. And he's the only one that'll stand before God one day. It won't be this flesh. It'll be turned to dust. We've gone into the kings, and we're seeing the excess, and we're seeing the fact that when a new man is made king, the Bible immediately says, and he either followed God or he didn't. Or he followed God, but he didn't quite do everything that he should have. You know, and that, there's a great lesson there for the Christian life. God God demands perfection, but he understands that you cannot achieve that because you have been intermingled with the seed of the serpent. And you got to go back to episode 1 to realize there are two bloodlines in this world, the seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam. And God said, don't mix with these people. And they did. So we all have a battle inside of us. But it was orchestrated and planned that way because this is a testing ground to prove you can overcome it. Prove that you earn the right through the sacrifice of Christ to be in God's kingdom. Like I said, we're into kings now. We're seeing how each of the kings of Israel, and they are at a very, very low time. King of Assyria has sent an army besieged Jerusalem. And this, it's very interesting because it's very complex if you look between the lines. You read that. And the head of the army, his name is Rabshakeh. And I want to go back into chapter 18 and start on verse 25. Now Rabshakeh is standing outside the gate with his army. And he's talking to the representatives of the king of Jerusalem, king of Judah. The northern kingdom, Israel's pretty much done. God's turned his back on them because they refused to even worship him in a little way. He doesn't demand perfection, but he demands that you try. And that's the lesson in there for you, Christian. You got to try. You got to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to do the best that I can today. I know I have things in my life that shouldn't be there, but I'm going to do my best not to do them. And do my best to focus on what I believe God wants me to do. So this Rabshakeh is standing outside the gate. And we start at verse 25 because he's a very complex individual. He is the commander of the Assyrian king's army. The Assyrians worship other gods. But he says, I am come up without the Lord. There's a capital L there. He's talking about the God of Israel against this place to destroy it. So I've come up without your God's assistance to destroy this place. Then he says, the Lord, capital L, he's talking about the God of Israel, said to me, go up against this place and destroy it. That man is a servant of the God of Israel, working for the king of Assyria. And you'll see later a little more evidence of that is what he does when he gets home. But there are servants of God in all sorts of places. God's people, the Israelis, are out of hand right now. And he brought a foreigner to the land, one who serves him. Just like he said about King Nebuchadnezzar, who drug the nation of Israel off into captivity for 70 years. He called him Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. And Nebuchadnezzar actually wrote one chapter of the book of Daniel. So things aren't always black and white. You got to look at every word and every phrase and every sentence. So we're into chapter 19. And it came to pass, King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he set Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos. Okay, so he's doing something that the last 10 kings of Israel did not do. He's inquiring of the Lord. You know, the last few, Jonathan, you remember, they robbed God's house to get the gold and silver to pay a ransom so that they wouldn't be wiped out.
Get the protection.
Okay, so God's got a big stick. He's getting ready to thump me with it through my adversaries. So shall I pray to God and ask forgiveness? Or no? No, I'll steal from God and give it to them and they'll go away.
It'll make them happy.
Wouldn't you think it'd make God a little more angry though?
Yeah.
And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke. Rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. We are right on the verge of finding God again, but the strength is not there. And it may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his master hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Pray. This is a bad time. And I don't see the strength of the people in finding God for salvation. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me. So this is God's guy out there speaking the words, because God has orchestrated all of this to try to bring about a U-turn in the nation of Judah, because they are far from God. He says, don't worry about these words. Behold, I will send a blast up on him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. For he had heard that he was departed from Lachish, when he heard say the Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't trust your gods. They're telling you the truth. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria has done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered. Don't worry. We've destroyed every nation around. Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezbeth and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar, have their gods helped them? No. Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib has sent him to reproach the living God. What's he do? Is he go in there, fall on his face, and beg God for deliverance? No, he worships God. Mm-hmm. God, how wonderful, how beautiful, how powerful he is. Underlying theme in prayer. Don't go to God with your demands. Mm-mm. Don't go to God with your wishes and desires. He knows what they are. If you're following even a little bit, following him even a little bit with your heart, he knows what they are. He knows what your needs are. He says, I'll supply those. Follow me with all your heart. He knows what your wants and desires are. You're following him really well. He'll give you those.
And remind them of all the stuff that you're thankful for that he did for you.
Yes.
In the middle of the prayers.
Absolutely. Yes. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand. Oh, I just got to make a funny note here. You know, so many people, so many Christians in prayer. We talk daily, Jonathan, about work and all. Yeah. How many times have I say, hey, Jonathan, I beseech thee to come? That's not how we talk.
When does thy need me?
Yeah, yeah. But you let, the pastor says, Bill Johnson, will you give us our closing prayer? Oh, Lord, I beseech thee to come.
Doeth unto us.
Yes. Yeah. Immediately, you're going to, they switch to Old English. Mm-hmm. To approach God. Mm-hmm. That's not you, Christian.
No.
Approach God just as you are. Put on an act. I beseech thee, O Lord, hear us now. I beseech thee, save thou us out of the hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me, saith, against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Wow. You know, God doesn't hear all prayers. It depends on the attitude of your heart. It reminds me of a story. I was talking to this old man about God. I said, we were close to the end of the conversation. I need to pray about it. He says, I don't pray. I said, why not? He says, well, when I was in the war, I prayed for all of my friends, and they all died. There's no purpose in it. And it broke my heart. But the thing is, if you don't know him, he doesn't hear your prayers. The first prayer he's going to hear is the prayer asking for salvation. After that, he's your father. That's like a kid walking down the road and the ice cream truck comes along. And he runs to the nearest neighbor. Says, can I have a dollar for the ice cream truck? The guy says, I don't know you. You'll find your own father. No, is it sad? Yeah. Is it reality? Yes. Don't ask God for anything until you have a relationship with him. Make him your father. Then he wants to bless you. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. Daughter of Jerusalem, have shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? He's telling him to go and tell this commander, yeah, I don't think so. You're not going to be victorious this time. You have come up against the holy God, the only God. By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord. and has said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains. And you see, he's talking past Rabshakeh, the messenger there. He's talking to the king by thy messengers. Because Rabshakeh is actually working for God. Thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof. And they're not talking about logging. They're talking about killing the great men of the land. Mm-hmm. Ah, how many times have you read that?
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh.
You thought they brought logging chariots, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a bunch of lumberjacks.
Yes. That's why we took this land, because of those great trees that we wanted to take home. And the choice firs. Yes, more great men of different stature. You know? And will enter into the loggings of this border, lodgings of this border, and into the forest of his Carmel. And that is, the forest are the general people, the population. I've digged and drunk strange waters. With the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. He's talking about how victorious his armies have been. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were a small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown. But I know thy abode, and thy goings out, and thy comings in, and thy rage against me. He's talking about the king of Assyria now. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up unto mine ears. Yes, that's also the other thing that God hears. When you get so far down the bad path, he starts getting reports about you and what you're doing and what you're saying. Because at that point, when you've gone that far, you're influencing others. Therefore, I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way in which thou camest. That is the method that you take when you have a wild bull or a wild horse, one who wants to trample you to death other than listen to you, with a hook in its mouth and a bit in its mouth. And it shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, a small portion of my people will survive this and go forward. And they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a blank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it, for mine own sake, not for you guys. You guys are far from me, but for my son David, who I promised, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Just a few left. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
An entire army camped there. Go to bed, wake up, and two-thirds of them are dead.
Mm-hmm. Wiped out without a sound. Just.
I think I'd be getting on my camel and heading home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went and returned, and dwelt in Nineveh. Came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, the Adrammelech, and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword. They escaped into the land Armenia. and Esarhaddon, his sons, reign in his stead. You go up against the living God, you don't survive. It's not something that you want to do. But I tell you what, Christian, if you have confessed Jesus Christ and you get so far removed by your heart not following after God, you can actually become an enemy of God, just like King Saul did, and wage war against him. Do you actually feel yourself waging war against God? No, you're so far from him, the flesh is totally in control. You got to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be the best man or woman that I can be today. And when you fail, the Bible says you will, you have to get up the next day and do it all over again. Be the best person that I can. Chapter 20, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. The book of 2 Kings. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is a lesson coming up on be careful what you ask God for. So the king and Hezekiah, his kingdom went pretty well, except for a couple of rough spots there. Things weren't so bad. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I walked before thee in truth. And the Bible does say, when he became king, he did follow after God, but not in a complete fashion. But God still blesses you for the attempt of the heart, because none of us will get to the finish line with 100% like Christ had. It is physically impossible in these bodies polluted with the seed of the serpent. It says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I had walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. See, although it says he followed after God, but did not complete his missions and the things he should have done, the high places weren't all torn down. But the heart was perfect. And because God knows you cannot achieve physical perfection in this body, following after him, he adds that little handicap at the end. Just so if the heart is absolutely desirous to follow God, it's like a golf handicap, you know? Yeah, I see. Jonathan consistently shoots an 80. Well, I'm going to add 20 to it. It's the way God works. So I have a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. This man loved his life. Be careful with that. It came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. He just said right there in that sentence, I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for David. I promised David a seed would always sit on the throne. Because of David, your father, I'm going to answer your prayer. I have heard thy prayers. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Okay, I'm gonna answer your prayer. I'm going to allow you to get well. I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to give you 15 years. Can you imagine? Counting down every day, crossing it off on the calendar.
Are we talking about from right now?
Or yes, from right now. From this day, you get 15 years. I bet that tormented him in the back of his mind.
Yeah.
So I got 13 years, 3 months, and 72 days left.
Yes.
And also, look at, you know, I said Hezekiah had a pretty easy had it pretty easy. God blessed him because he was following after him. But watch what happens in these last 15 years. You know, Hezekiah followed after God, had it easy, and was getting ready to go to paradise and begged God not to send him to paradise, but let him stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And look what here becomes after this, the next 15 years. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. You know, wasn't it enough that the prophet came back and said, you're gonna make it. God's changed his mind. No, I want to see a sign, just to be sure.
And this is asking literally to stretch time.
Yes.
Because how they measured everything by shadow.
Absolutely. You know, I've thought about this many times. You know, it's not plausible to reverse the rotation of the earth, but back up its orbit just a little bit. God went to great lengths to show this man, this doubting man, who just asked for a favor and was granted it, to have the time back up just a little bit. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the sundial of Ahaz. Wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Berodach-Beladan, the son of Beladan. Boy, they just added an extra couple syllables on the end of dad's name.
They sure did.
Man, I hope the next child didn't get a couple extra syllables.
All right.
Sent letters, a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of the precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in the treasury. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. So he gets well and he gets a letter from a king from another nation. Oh, I understand you've been sick, Bill. You doing better now? Yeah, come on over. Let's have a dinner party.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.